Higgins is the electorate where I spent most of my childhood. It stretches from South Yarra to where I grew up in Ashburton. These days, you won't find a poor pocket in Higgins. It's become gentrified, professionalised, and increasingly left-wing as a new generation has moved into the southeastern suburbs. My name's Evan Wallace, and thanks for listening to the final episode of this mini-series of Relocation, a podcast about people, places, and ideas. For this series, I travelled across different pockets of the country to capture what was on the minds of Australians at the start of the year. We've covered off their hopes and resolutions, but another objective of the mini-series was to find out what folk wanted to see debated at this year's federal election. On this episode, we're going to the two edges of Higgins, in South Yarra and Carnegie. It's there that you'll meet Sue and Janine, two of the loveliest people who call this part of the world home. In chatting with Sue, you get a sense of how Higgins has drifted left. She's concerned about climate change and the treatment of women and refugees, issues that sadly haven't received the attention they deserve at this year's election. We pick up the conversation as she tells me about her great resolution for 2022.
Just keep life simple. It's really paring back, going back to basics, trying not to stress about anything, you know, that's not really warranting stress, you know. And I think that's happened for a lot of people too, really. And I don't know about other people, but because you're so localised through COVID, you have more of a relationship with your immediate area, even your own garden, and things you wouldn't normally take notice of, you start to really focus on. And in a way, there's been some real positives, I think, out of it. It just made us more mindful. I know it's a bit of a catch cry, but it's certainly true for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that philosophy a lot. This year, perhaps there'll be a space for some level of reflection when it comes to the 2022 election, but I think most people who I speak to are feeling a little bit cynical or a little bit jaundiced about what lies ahead this year with the federal election. What would you like to see be discussed and fleshed out and debated in the federal election this year?
Oh, I would like to see, first and foremost, climate change, absolutely. Just some meaningful policies and backup action with it, just not a whole lot of talk. So that would be, for me, really important. And apart from that, I mean, God, there's always the usual issues, you know, of health, seeing we've just come through this and continuing to go through it, the pandemic. But, in a nutshell, it's really, I'm concerned about the climate now.
You had to pinpoint an issue as being the one that would most sway your vote or where you'll land when it comes to election day. Would you say that climate change is the major issue for you in terms of what will shape how you vote this year?
You know what, climate change for sure, but also the argument with the treatment of women, that will sway my vote as well. And just things that have gone on in the past this year with the way women have been treated, not only in Parliament, but you know, in all walks of life, that really needs a platform and to be taken seriously, really seriously. So those two things will definitely sway my vote.
Are you hopeful that they will get the discussion, the time that they deserve as issues at the election this year?
Am I hopeful? I've got to be hopeful. But I'm a little bit... a little bit unconvinced, so I'm just waiting to see, really, and I think that's why that's going to sway my vote, because there's nothing concrete yet that's been presented to me that makes me think, they've got it. It's I think leadership overall is sort of seriously lacking. I don't know. I was discussing this with friends the other day, and it seems we were saying it's just the fact that social media plays such a big part in things now, whereas we were comparing it to the days of, say, Howard, when the gun lords came in straight away, like there was an absolute action in regards to what happened in Tassie. Whereas now, there just seems to be, oh, what are the polls saying, the public opinion, and what are the arguments that are going on? And it's it just lacks a bit of backbone, I think, anyway. Yeah.
And I think on top of that too, perhaps people having really low expectations of politicians and of government itself?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, the media has a lot to answer for too. I don't really watch mainstream media anymore. And that helps, you know, you seem to get a lot clearer views on other media. But yeah, I don't know. Look, I'm not a political person anyway, but yeah, to answer your question, yeah, those two things are important to me, and I'm waiting on the fence to see what's going to happen.
And bringing it back locally again, for people who haven't been to South Yarra before and to this part of the world, what would you recommend that they do? Perhaps some of your favourite things?
Oh, well, you know what? There's something for all age groups, I think, here too. But for me to recommend, particularly now that we're in summer, go for walks around the place, and you just see so much, whether it's things in shops that you didn't even know those shops existed, to, you know, going along the Yarra, as I mentioned before, that is an absolutely beautiful walk. There's all those gorgeous parks too. Botanical gardens are just beautiful, so you can just skip down there, and it's so close to a commercial precinct, so you've got everything here. Also restaurants, of course. You know, I couldn't even pick out one because they're all fantastic, you know. So yeah, I'd highly recommend South Yarra. In fact, before I lived here, my daughter and I came here for a weekend. I said, let's go and just try something different, you know. So we booked at a hotel here, and we treated the weekend like a holiday, and it was great. So, you know, speaking from experience, that's what we did. We just walked around and we discovered places, and we had a great time. So, yeah.
I can relate to that. I had one very, very happy stint living just around the corner from here, and you're right, that sense of being so connected to the parks, to the river, it's a treat, really, and it makes you feel so good when you can start the day or finish the day just being immersed in such lovely green spaces. Thanks so much for chatting with me, Sue.
Oh, that's my pleasure. Thank you.
That was Sue, and you're listening to Relocation. I think there are a lot of Australians who also share Sue's concerns about a lack of leadership in politics. One thing that I've noticed amongst the established parties is a lack of willingness to really imagine a big picture image for the country. It's a shame, but the flip side of that is that people take it upon themselves to lead all sorts of great initiatives at the local level and really think about who else lives in their community. It's now time to meet Janine. I came across Janine on a sunny afternoon in Carnegie after interviewing a large number of people on Kurnang Road. I'd had a number of pretty interesting conversations, and I'd already started packing up my gear. I ummed and erred whether or not to move on to the next location, but I'm glad I lingered and asked Janine about her sense of home. Janine lives right next door in Malvern East, and ended up last year in a boarding house that she loves and calls home after moving from Mornington. We talked about what it was like to move around throughout the pandemic, tapped into her sense of faith and how important that was for her in 2022, and also dealing with loss. This is Relocation, and I'm Evan Wallace.
Yeah, I've been all over the place house sitting, and every time your house sits in lockdown, you had to go into boarding house or Airbnb place somewhere. And so I got this amazing boarding house that I'm in at the moment. Really well looked after there, everyone. And I decided to stay because I loved it so much.
That's great.
It was actually the house I loved rather than the place. And then I realised how central it was to everything. And I thought, my goodness, I'm in such an all-round good place.
That's wonderful to hear. Really, really happy to hear that. You've talked about some of the challenges with lockdowns. How have the last couple of years been for you?
Very displaced. You know, because just before lockdown, my mother passed away. And then I had all the family issues, and my son's marriage was on the rocks, and I was living with him. So I thought, had to give up all my work and just go down the beach to recover, you know, emotionally from things. And so I went into lockdown down there, where I took up a craft I hadn't done in years, since I've been 19. And my children said, "Mum, have you got hidden talents we didn't know you had?" Because I do amazing crochet, like not normal stuff. It's incredible. And I said, "Yeah, I've always been able to do this. You've just never seen it." And so that was really something that came out of lockdown. Yeah, it wasn't easy, because I just felt like I was locked in my room most of the time. But then as I decided, you know, to come back up here, because there's more scope for work up here for me from Mornington, I decided to do house sitting. And believe you me, everyone wanted a house sitter because there wasn't many house sitters around. But every time there was a lockdown, I had to go into an Airbnb. So I've been in a couple of boarding houses, weren't that nice. But the one I went into, like the last time, oh, amazing, really big room. You got your own TV, couch and everything in your room. And he cuts it off every few rooms so that you're only associating with another two or three people. And because everything's in your room you need, you don't have to go out. And it keeps heating in winter, cooling in summer. And he looks after us, this guy. Like, Bill's an amazing person that really looks after his boarding house and the people in it. And so I really got settled there. And then Carnegie was just across the road. I thought, oh, geez, I don't know much about Carnegie. So I started investigating Carnegie and I thought, oh, geez, this is such a beautiful place just to settle. So I'm settling. And unless something drastically goes wrong in that boarding house, I'm not shifting for no one. Because it is amazing.
Sounds like an excellent setup. Yeah. We're at the beginning of the year. Do you have any plans, hopes, resolutions for 2022?
Get stronger in Jesus. I'm a born-again Christian. I want to get settled in a church. So I found a church I want to settle in. That was another thing. I want to go on an overseas holiday, but I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to do that this year. But I've got a couple booked for next year, so I'm hoping I'm going to go on that. And maybe just, my prayer life, like to get stronger in my prayer life and really get to know my Lord a lot closer and a lot more. So you do that in confined spaces. That's mainly, however, we have a very big upset in my family because my sister's husband passed away all of a sudden at Christmas Eve. So that's been a bit of an upset for the last few weeks because I come from a large family and the whole family's upset, you know. He had no signs of having cancer. He had a twinge in his lower back. A few weeks ago, he was driving around. Went in and found out he had cancer right through his body. Lasted 8 days. And my sister's like in absolute shock because it just suddenly it happened because a few weeks ago he was driving around. And so, you know, that's a bit hard getting over. And because you haven't just got one person upset, I've got six siblings. And everyone loved him because he was such a great guy. He was just a great father, a great husband, and a great brother-in-law. And so we're all upset about that. We're trying to get over it. It's been a bit hard. But having been settled here, it was easier for me to come to terms with, you know, because I'm already settled. But, yeah, I've been very displaced for the last 2 years because, you know, like I said, every time a lockdown come, I had to go into an Airbnb room or you know. And then, you know, like the police, you're supposed to be where your living area is. How are you going to do that? I had my son's address on my license, but I didn't live with my son. I was house sitting. So how did the police really govern all that, you know? And then I was in an Airbnb room where it didn't have my address, you know? And I thought it was absolutely, that was a bit daunting. And yeah, that was pretty hard. But eventually I found, I just accidentally went into the place I'm in and I really love it there. Thank you.
You're listening to Relocation, where we're chatting with Janine on the final edition of the Relocation mini-series. Out of everyone who I spoke to at the start of the year, Janine was Scott Morrison's biggest fan. I find Scott Morrison's approach to politics to often be cruel and cynical, but Janine has a very different outlook. You talked about some of the challenges that have been attached to the last couple of years with respect to governing and how we've got through the pandemic. Thinking a little bit bigger picture, this year there's a federal election in Australia. Any topics or issues that you would really like to see debated?
Oh, geez, I'm not into politics, so I don't really go into debates. But however, I think the Prime Minister did a great job with what he had. You know, he came from the fires into this, and I think they were doing their best for Australia. And I know there was a lot of criticism around how it was done, but no one knew what to do. Everyone was scrambling what to do and how to keep our economy going. So I will be voting for our Prime Minister again, only because I think, you know, even with the fires, I think it was a bit blasé about that because we have them every year. He didn't realise how bad this one was, that's all, you know. And I think if you have them every year, like in Queensland, they have floods every year. Like, it's just, you know, I lived up in Queensland for years. They have floods every year. You get used to it. Yeah, cyclones come in the summer. You know, you know how to, you know, you've got to go into the smallest house in the room if there's a cyclone coming, you know. And yeah, there's danger all around you. So you get very blasé about, you know, the things that happen on a regular basis. So I don't blame him for that. And I know there was criticism around it. But he's also doing the best he could then. When he come back, you know, from his holiday, he was doing the best he could. And I don't blame him for holidaying with his family. It's probably the only time he gets to have time with his family, you know. And Australia's always going to have a crisis of some sort for a Prime Minister. So I know a lot of criticism was around him, but I think he's been doing the best he can. And he's been really trying to take us through this pandemic the best he could. And he's had all these, people, the state premiers, he's had to, they've had their own view on things. And so they had fairly much control over their states, more so than the premier. So, you know, he's had all that to battle with. And I think, yeah, I'd be voting for the Prime Minister again this year. That we're having a federal or state?
Federal election.
Federal. Well, then I'll be voting for him again.
Yeah.
And because I think he's been doing the best he can with what he had. And he's no other Prime Minister for many years has had this on their hands. You know?
It's been a huge couple of years.
Oh, absolutely. And you've got to give him hands down from what he's tried to do for Australia. You know? And I think he's done a great job. I know a lot of other people mightn't think that, but, you know, what other Prime Minister has had all this on their plates? The fires into a pandemic.
Are you feeling optimistic or pessimistic about what lies ahead for the country this year?
Oh, geez, that's... Oh, do you know, I'm not really quite sure where I stand on that because, you know, like, I'm hoping things will get better, but our economy... It's going to be a struggle for all the economies to get back up all over the world. And so our economy is going to be struggling. And but it's just been devastating to the world. You know, so many people have lost everything through it, you know. So many bankruptcies have gone through. The bank, how many people they had to put on in the ATO here, over 80 people to handle all the bankruptcies extra on top of what they had, you know? So this has been a very sad moment for so many people, but maybe it might bring them back to their ground roots, you know? See what's really important, and that's family, you know? And not really making money. Money's all right as long as you can feed you. As long as you're clothed and you've got money, you know, that's fine. You don't have to have a lot, you know. But maybe it'll bring them back to their ground roots and really think about what life's all about.
We shall only see. Thank you so much for chatting with me, Janine.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Life in Higgins on Relocation. I hope you enjoyed my conversations with Sue and Janine. The election is next week, and the outcome will play a big role in shaping the direction of the country. Whatever outcome Australian voters land on will be a reflection of all the different contrasts and patchworks that tie together 26 million people. But what it won't reveal is a sense of home. That's a feeling that goes far beyond politics, even if it runs through it. I'm Evan Wallace, and I'll see you somewhere in the world next time.